In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. Our Lady, Queen of Saints. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Volume 15, April 14th, 1923. In the same way, now, when the Church recites the Our Father, it is precisely for you, Louisa, that the Church prays, so that I, God, may centralize in you, Louisa, all the good that my holy divine will contains, the way and the how the divine will may have life on earth as it does in heaven. And even though you, Louisa, are not known, by echoing my prayer, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, the Church prays me, presses me to centralize all this good in a second virgin, so that like a second Savior, she may save unsafe humanity, and making use of my inseparable love and mercy, I, God, may answer my own prayer, united to that of the whole Church, making man come back to his origin, to the purpose for which I, God, created him, and that is that my will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So what we're working on right now is the titles of Louisa. And I remember back in, before 2000, we went through, we had 14 pages of the titles of Louisa. And that was only, I think, volume 1 through volume 19, and it was just part of them. And one person in the prayer group got so angry that they left. They said, you're giving more titles to Louisa than to the Blessed Mother. And I'm saying, I'm just repeating what Jesus says. This is what he says. He says, you, Louisa, are a second virgin. You, Louisa, are like a second Savior. Those are titles. And the thing is, Jesus has infinite titles. Our Lady has all the titles that Jesus has. And Louisa has all the titles of Jesus and Mary. Why? Because she's the newborn. And we participate in that as well when we're linked to Louisa. So how glorious this is that Jesus calls her the second virgin. Jesus calls her a second Savior. You know, remember what he says, and later on he says to Louisa that you are the redemptive, you're the redemptor of, that's not the word. You are the redemptor of sanctification, which means without you, Louisa, there's no sanctification. So what is happening in the Pentecostal church? What is happening in the charismatic church? They're praying for this Holy Spirit. That is the spirit of Louisa. That's what's going to come upon the earth. That's what Jesus says right here. He says, when we pray the Our Father, it is precisely for you, Louisa, that the Church prays, so that I may centralize in you, Louisa, all the good that my holy divine will contains, and so that they will know the way of living in the divine will. They will know how to live in the divine will, so that they will have this life in them when they echo my prayer, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Again, this is why the Vatican right now, in studying Louisa, is at a standstill, because people are taking this and they're saying that Louisa is greater than Mary and Louisa is greater than Jesus. Louisa is, you don't need to go to Mass, you don't need to pray the rosary, and all of that is false. Jesus is our Redeemer. Our Lady is co-redeemed with Christ. And now they have a newborn, the firstborn of the divine will. So the Church is looking at this and is in awe, and if you listen to the Pope just recently, he talked about we have to give up our human will and begin to live in the divine will. I mean, it was extraordinary. I mean, it was right from Louisa Picaretta that he was reading this. So again, why are we praying the Our Father? Think about it, for Louisa, so that God centralized in Louisa the kingdom, so that as you know, watch the dawn of a mystery. If you don't have the dawn of a mystery, we got some here for you. Watch the dawn of a mystery. Listen to what Archbishop E. Charity is saying. He's saying very clearly, this is not for anyone but Louisa to teach. This is Louisa's job. Volume 15, May 2nd, 1923. Had I not been convinced in my beloved mama, redemption would never have taken place. In the same way, if I, God, do not operate the prodigy of making one soul, Louisa Picaretta, live in my supreme will, the fiat voluntas tua on earth as it is in heaven will not take place in the human generations. So Jesus is explaining to us the importance of Louisa. I remember being in the Vatican, getting the secret archives, in the secret archives of the Vatican, getting the writings out, and that was 1996, when we ran into Cardinal Ratzinger, and he was so happy that we were there. Like he knew something that we didn't know. And you listen to what he's doing right now, and he is echoing these books. In 1990, I didn't understand that, but in 1990, he already read The Hours of the Passion of the Virgin Mary. And if you don't have The Hours of the Passion of the Virgin Mary, we got them up here. So, you know, pray this during this Lent. Draw closer to Christ. Draw closer to Our Lady through little Louisa. If you want to be a Franciscan, follow Francis. If you want to be a Dominican, follow Dominic. If you want to be a Benedictine, follow Benedict. If you want the divine will, you have to be linked to Louisa. That's the way God works. Volume 20, October 12, 1926. Now, don't you know that the primacy that Adam lost as firstborn son of my holy divine will has been passed on to you, Louisa? So this is another title of Louisa. The primacy of Adam now is given to Louisa. That in you, Louisa, I, Jesus, must enclose all the goods that I was to enclose in Adam, had Adam not withdrawn from my holy divine will. Therefore, I, Jesus, look at you, Louisa, as the first creature to come out of our hands. Because the one Louisa who lives in my holy divine will is always the first before her Creator God, and if she is born later in time, this says nothing in our human will. The one Louisa who has never gone out of the divine will is always first. Now, again, what is Jesus doing here? Jesus, the Son of God, Mary, the Mother of God, had to come to earth to redeem us. That's how far we fell. Jesus says when Adam fell, he fell so far it was a miracle he survived. Well, Jesus and Mary come to earth. Why? To begin the Catholic faith again. Adam had the Catholic faith. He had the Catholic life. He had the universal life. Jesus and Mary come to earth. Why? To start this life again. And for the last 2,000 years, we've learned the ABCs of what it means to be Catholic. And we're not very good at it. Yet now he says, now is the time that he's going to now give us what Adam lost. And that's the preternatural life of integrity, impassibility, immutability, and immortality. It's the preternatural life. I was talking to this nun a couple weeks ago, or maybe a month ago, and she was telling me that in her prayer, what Jesus was showing to her is regeneration. That God is going to regenerate this human family. And she says, if you don't have an arm, it's going to grow back. And I went, isn't that, that's God. See, to be in paradise, you know, if you don't have a leg, it's going to be hard to run. You're going to have two legs. You know, what God is going to do is he's going to perfect us. He's going to heal us. Now, remember what Our Lady said to Joey Lamangino. You're going to have new eyes. Joey's what, 80? He's going to have new eyes. You have to understand that what God is going to bring about is regeneration of the human family. Perfection. That's what the preternatural life, that's what Adam had. And that's what God wants to give back to us. So again, what eye has seen, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, what God is going to do for those who love Him. Again, do not limit God. Don't say, well, I that sounds good, but I doubt it. Well, then you're not going to be here. He can't force you. Well, I'm sorry, you don't believe that I'm going to bring perfection to mankind, then I'm sorry, you can't be here. See, a doubt is the devil. A doubt says, I don't know about that. And you go, fine, I don't know about that. That's what Eve doubted. God didn't really say you would die. God never. And the other thing too is, if you eat this fruit, you will be gods. See, a doubt is a terrible thing. I've seen people in the divine will, and they go, yes, 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 I don't know about that. And that's where they stop. They cannot advance. Why? Because they've said to God, no, it's the same thing as using artificial means of birth control. Artificial means of birth control say to God, I don't want life. God says, fine, I can't. Basically, that's why all marriages dissolve, is because of that. You don't want life? There's no love. The marriage can't exist. There's no love? There's no life. There's no God. It has to die. The marriage has to die. There's no trust in God. That's why the majority of people who are using birth control cannot believe in the divine will. They can't believe in it. Because they've already said to God, no. And God can't give them any more. They've said to the Lord, no more life. God said, fine, no more life. So what is God asking of us to do? I say to God when I read this, I say, I don't know how you're going to do it, but let it be done as you say, not as how I think. Let it be done as you say, Lord. And the more that we are open to life, open to what God wants, then what happens is He, the Lord, can bring about great things. God chooses, God calls. This is a call from God and an answer from the part of man. Entering and belonging to the little family of Louisa means being called to live in a spirit of communion with God and with all our brothers and sisters in Him. So again, it's not, hi, how are you? And it's not, it's really brothers and sisters in Christ. More than that, I've lived in community, and that can be real hell on earth at times. But it's got to be more than that. It's got to recognize the life of Jesus and Mary in our brothers and sisters. To recognize the life of little Mama Louisa in our brothers and sisters. It is a call, it is a gift which starts from the unity of wills for the accomplishment of this purpose, to live the divine will according to the message that Jesus gave to us through little Mama Louisa. Volume 18, August 9th, 1925. For this I, God, called you, Louisa, in my holy divine will, so that you, Louisa, associate yourself to us, triune God, and to follow and to repeat all our divine acts. It is an alliance and is a participation of the Spirit that tends to form a chain built with the strength of the goodwill and the love of charity without ever losing sight of the goal. And the goal is the kingdom of the supreme fiat as one's own life. Heaven reigning in us now on earth as our life. No more death. No more sin. No more hell. No more worry, no more fear, no more anxiety, no more complaints, no more negativity. You can live like that if you want. God is not going to prevent it. It's got to be, you have to be determined to live this life of God by being linked to Louisa. So again, you're going to have negative thoughts. When I watch the news, I get a lot of negative thoughts. You know, it's but what God is saying is let it go. Fiat. That's what the fiat is. Fiat, let it be done to me as you say. And the more that we can say fiat, the more God can have his way with us. Otherwise, we're going to get very angry. Of what's coming is going to be really tough. Why? Because why is it going to become tough? Because Luis is in the Vatican. That's why it's going to become tough. Now look what happened. When Luisa died, TV just began. It was three channels for most of us. When Luisa was brought, when the cause of her beatification began, the internet began. With the closing of the cause, and then all these iPods and Twitter and Facebook, all the kids are focused on their ears and their eyes. They don't read. They can't read this. Why? Because the devil doesn't want them to. When Luisa was born, the devil was so angry. That's when football, basketball, soccer, hockey, golf, tennis began. Why? God is brought us Luisa, and the devil wanted to bring us other gods. Sundays, what are they? They're not for worshiping God. Every sport is going on a Sunday. Well, we can't go to mass because we got to practice, you know, tennis, golf, you know, hockey, soccer, football. That's where they're leading the children away from God. What God is asking of us is we have to get back to him, and the best way is the Catholic life. The best way is to let go of all that's around us so that we can focus on what is very, very important, and that's this gift. It has to become our life. Volume 11, December 30th, 1916. Since I am free, so is she, we might pour ourselves into each other, running toward heaven, to love and glorify the Father, to dwell together with a sacrosanct Trinity, run toward earth, to do good to all, run into the hearts of all, to strike them with our love, to chain them with our will, and to make them conquests. Make of them conquests. So this is what God is doing. He's conquering us. Now, if we're reading how good this is, because we're giving God the opportunity to conquer us. If we're not reading, God can't conquer us. I mean, the saints were to know, to love, and to possess God. No, excuse me. To know, love, and to serve God. What now God wants is to know him. That's where you begin the knowledge. To love him, and then to possess God. God wants to breathe in our breathing. God wants to dance in our dancing. God wants to swim in our swimming. And what we want is we want God to reign. We want God to reign in everything that we think, say, and do. Volume 34, April 4th, 1937. But do you know where we, God, are free to form this life of ours? In the one, Luisa, who lives in our holy divine will. Our divine fiat prepares the prime materials for us, triune God, in order to form our divine life. It places in attitude its divine power, its divine sanctity, its divine life, and calls us, triune God, into the depth of Luisa. And we, finding the adaptable and workable matter, this is why I mean he crushed her. As clay, he crushed Luisa to reform her. With indescribable love, form our divine life. And not only do we form it, but we raise it. And with our highest enjoyment and delight, we develop our creative art around this celestial creature. Okay, he's talking about Our Lady at this point. And the divine chains of divine prodigies begin. Our Lady possesses her Creator, and our holy divine will operates in Our Lady, becoming the bearer of everyone and everything. It is an opening toward the brothers and sisters. This is what this is for. Because being family means to give and to receive, to love and to be loved in God, And since where love is lacking, there is sterility, and only a forced observation of the laws allow the reestablishment of balance, unity of will, stability, charity. Instead, it leads to fecundity of spirit. Okay, this is what the Pope says. Looking at it in such a way as to reach its very roots, we must say that the essence and role of the family are in the final analysis specified by love. Hence, the family has a mission to guard, reveal, and to communicate this love. This is a living reflection of and real sharing in God's love for humanity and the love of Christ the Lord for the church, his bride. So here we have what John Paul II says about the family. You have to live in love. Okay, so we love Jesus. We love Mary. And now they give us the little newborn, Louisa. We love Louisa. Now, because of Jesus, Mary, and Louisa, now we really begin to love each other. What does Jesus say? Love your God, Lord your God, with your whole mind, your whole heart, and all your strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself. Well, why do we love our neighbor as ourself? Why? Because we see Jesus in us, Mary in us, and our little Louisa in us, and we see that Jesus, Mary, and the little newborn, the little daughter of the divine will, of Louisa in the other souls, in our brothers and sisters. So again, this love is what God is asking of us. Again, very, very clear. Very, very clear. Being called to answer. This call united to the answer, the yes, the continuous fiat, leads to the recognition and the acceptance of oneself and of all of those who are called by our Lord in the spiritual family of Louisa, even with all our limits and our weaknesses, but with a good disposition that certainly nobody lacks. Okay, so if you're really going to confession, if you're really trying to follow the church, again, you're going to sin, but God gives you the strength to conquer your sinfulness. What happens a lot of time in families is we look at the negative rather than the positive. You know, you've got a really good family. Well, how would you like to live with these people? Now, that's the response. You know, your family is so great. Well, that's nice of you saying this, but try living with them. Now what we're called to do is really begin to live the love of Jesus and Mary through Louisa. So John Paul II says, the Christian family is also called to experience a new and original communion which confirms the perfect and perfects natural and human communion. In fact, the grace of Jesus Christ, the firstborn among many brethren, is by its nature an interior diamondism, the grace of brotherhood, as St. Thomas Aquinas calls it. The Holy Spirit, who is poured forth in celebration of the sacraments, is the living source and inexhaustible substance of the supernatural communion that gathers believers and links them with Christ and with each other in the unity of the Church of God. The Christian family constitutes a specific revelation and realization of ecclesial communion, and for this reason, too, it can and should be called the domestic church. So what we're seeing that the Holy Father has asked us is that this family of Louisa, God is going to use it in a way that he has never used any religious group before. What he's going to do is he's going to conquer the world. Right now, there's 1 billion Christians, Catholics, out of 7 billion. 1/7 of the world. That's not good enough. Jesus said there'll be one church, one flock, one shepherd. That's what he's got planned. Our job is to live this Catholic life so that everybody comes in. Every Jew, every Buddhist, every Hindu, every Muslim, every Protestant become Catholic. That's what he says in volume 24, the last chapter of volume 24. Everyone will become Catholic. There'll be one church, one flock, one shepherd. That's Jesus' prayer, and that's what's going to happen. And again, we pray it with certitude. And unfortunately, for the last 40 years, we've used ecumenism to degrade the Catholic Church. And that's not... No, the Catholic life is the universal life. Everybody... I mean, we want to live... So when you say to someone, you know, I got to go to church. Why are you going to church? Because I love Jesus and the Blessed Sacrament. Well, I can talk to Jesus in the forest. Well, go ahead and talk to him in the forest. I'm going to talk to him personally. I'm going to go to Mass. I'm going to receive God. I'm going. Do you see how great this is? It's to live this life. You know, well, the people are being married outside the Catholic Church. Are you going? Can't. Why? I don't want them to go to hell. Well, you're a fundamentalist. No, that's what Jesus says in his church. You know, I want to go to confession. Why are you going to confession? I want to wear a scapulary. Why are you wearing a scapulary? I want to pray the rosary. Why are you wearing the Because this is life to me. I want holy water in my house. Why do you want holy water? I want a crucifix in my room. Why do you... I want life. I want to read Luisa Picaretta. Why do you want to do... She's my mama. What about the Blessed Mother? She's my mama. Now we have a second mom. A third mom. It is important to maintain a spirit of humility in which each one feels smaller than the other. That's what humility is. Again, I am nothing. God is everything. I am a sinner. God is holy. I am weak. God is strong. And that's how we have to live. When we look at our brothers and sisters, this is what Jesus is asking of us. We are smaller than the other. Or rather, we maintain a sense of nothingness before God and souls because we've become part of the family of Luisa in which no human interest can enter. Since everything is oriented toward the interest of the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven, it is a diffusion and establishment through the entire humanity by our fiat. Fiat. Somebody in China begins to live it. Fiat. Somebody in India begins to live it. This is what God is doing. Family communion can only be preserved and perfected through a great spirit of sacrifice. What do parents do? Parents work so that children can have life. Parents give up their time so their children can have life. Parents sacrifice so their children can have life. What is a contraceptive mentality? I sacrifice the children so I can live. I sacrifice the children so I can play. It's not what God wants. It requires, in fact, a ready and generous openness of each and all to understanding, to forbearance, to pardon, and to reconciliation. Again, God wants us to live heaven on earth. And again, it's our job. All members, as John Paul II says, all members of the family, each according to his and her own gift, and have the grace and responsibility of building day by day the communion of persons, making the family a school of deeper humanity. In all the variety and diversity of the works of God, there is, as their foundations, a collaboration at the associative level, and each of these works has a starting point and his arrival point in the will of God. God created us by his holy divine will and for pure love and with no concourse from our side. And it is precisely in this project of love that God calls us to be associated for the fulfillment of our happiness in him. We have to understand our responsibility before God. As Catholics, we have a great responsibility. I mean, the church says, we want you to be Catholic, but your minimal requirement is go to church on Sunday. Go to confession at least once a year. That's the minimal requirement. So what does that mean? Mass has to become our life. See, a priest, his whole, and this is, I'm just learning this after 33 years. I'm just beginning to understand. I've been saying the Latin Mass now since August, learning how to do the Tridentine Mass. And what I've discovered is the priesthood is sacrifice. It's the holy sacrifice of the Mass. All homilies are directed toward the holy sacrifice of the Mass. All sacraments are directed towards the holy sacrifice of the Mass. Everything that a priest does is the holy sacrifice of the Mass. And if you haven't gone to a Tridentine Mass, that's one of the things that I would recommend. Out of 33 years of saying the Novus Ordo, by saying the Tridentine Mass, I've discovered such power and such grace that I have never seen before. And I know that the Novus Ordo is valid. I'm not saying it's not. And I say the Novus Ordo every day, and I do the Tridentine Mass every day. But what I've discovered with the Tridentine Mass is there is a power that is there. There is a grace that is there that is needed for today. See, the devil knows. I mean, the devil knew very well that Luisa is the one that's going to put the final crush on his head. Jesus says that to Luisa in volume 15. My mother crushes the head of Lucifer. You, Luisa, put the final kaput on his head. That's Luisa's job. Like mother, like daughter. And that's why Luisa's going to do this. And God wants to prove to Lucifer that he's totally worthless. Everything that he did is a joke compared to what God is going to do. So how do we get through what's coming? Well, what I'm discovering in the 10th book, volume 10, that Jesus says that the priests of the divine will form houses of the resurrection of the faith. And what does that mean? The resurrection of the faith. What has died? Well, let's look at for the last 40 years. We've lost seminary. When I was in the seminary in 1964, we had 350 seminarians. Now, well, how many do we have? Five? The convents were filled. The schools were filled. The churches were filled. I remember five masses on Sunday. You know, something happened. And what I'm discovering is the priesthood has to come back in a powerful way. And what is that? Well, in 1988, John Paul II said, any priest could say the Latin Mass with permission of his bishop. In 2000, he said, I want you to go back to the Latin words. I want you to basically get rid of the sacramentary and go back to the Roman Missal. Okay? In 2007, Pope Benedict said, any priest now could say the Latin Mass anytime, any place, anywhere. So the permission is there, and I've talked to priests all over the country, and I've said, you know, you got to learn Latin Mass. I don't think so. And it's like, we've done this for 1,500 years. Why can't we do this now? Why can't we know our tradition? Just know it. Just say it once. Just know it. And we need this strength, this faith, this grace, I should say, to get to fight what's coming. Look what's happened since this year. This is only the beginning. Look at all the churches in the Muslim world, all the Christian churches, all the Catholic churches. They're all being burnt down. But don't even dare to do anything with other religions. Again, how do we get through this? The holy sacrifice of the Mass. Again, this is, as a Catholic, the minimal requirement is church on Sunday. So we have to make the holy sacrifice of the Mass more of our life. It has to be, it's not just once in a while. It really has to be daily if we can do it, if at all possible. Again, God will provide. Volume 31, September 18th, 1932. And this page was written ab eterno. It was written in the light of our holy divine will, such that the life of each soul in time had its beginning, but in our supreme being it had no beginning. Okay, so again, we were in the mind of God from the beginning of time. We were in the mind of God even before that. Each and every one of us has such an important role that no one ever born could take our place. What is our role? Our role is to live one with God. When I say draw or picture a red object, each and every one of us think of something different. A fire hydrant, a fire truck, an apple, a tomato, a cherry. And there are different shapes, different sizes. Why? Because God loves our uniqueness. So this, as you do your round of creation, as you do your round of redemption, you are praying in such a unique way that no one can repeat that prayer. That's how important you are. That's why without you in heaven, it's not going to be perfect. God needs you there. God, He, the Lord God Almighty, needs, because of who He is, needs us to be there to worship Him. His life is so beautiful, so holy, so perfect that's why He created Adam. There was no other gods. So He gave this divine life to Adam, breathed this divine life into Adam, so that Adam could have God in his prayer, God in his love, God in his life, God in his sight, God in his hearing, God in his voice. That's the preternatural life of integrity, impassibility, immutability, and immortality. And it was lost. So Jesus came, Mary came, to redeem and co-redeem, to bring us back to this life, this Catholic life, this universal life. And now after 2,000 years, Luis is here. Why? So that we can begin to live this preternatural life on earth as the saints possess it in heaven. We don't have to die to have heaven. Heaven can begin here. So he says, So the Father did not want to remain alone as in eternal happiness, because after having created the universe and sustained it with the creative power of the divine will, He created Adam to make Adam part of His divine sanctity. Almighty God could have done without Adam. Nothing increases or decreases His eternal beatitude. But to signify the union of our human life with His most holy divine will, God wanted to give to Adam His own image and resemblance, to make Adam participate in His divine sanctity. But the first man, Adam, rejected this gift. Therefore, he remained with the load of the human mysteries, all the human mysteries, and the consequences for all human generations. So this is where we are. We're miserable human beings. Bless me, Father, for I have sinned. So what God is saying is, I'm tired of this. Now I want you to enter into my will. This is what the Holy Father's talking about. And again, I can't wait. When he proclaims Luisa, the devil's going to be furious. Because what does that mean? As everybody now begins to read Luisa, as everybody becomes to know Luisa, the devil has to leave. See, when we call heaven and earth, come divine will, come breathe in my breathing, you're calling fire to earth. You're calling the love of Jesus and Mary to earth, to reign in you. Heaven has come to earth. The devil has been banished from heaven. He can no longer stay here. He has to leave. So he's going to tries to cause hell to be here as quickly as he possibly can when he sees Luisa come to the fruition, come to life through the Pope. So hang on to your hats. When you hear the Pope talk about Luisa, it's great. Because the kingdom is now going to be here on earth as it is in heaven. And the devil has to go. How glorious this is. Volume 31, October 9th, 1932. There is nothing that pleases us, Triune God, more than seeing the creature, Luisa, in the same will in which Luisa was created. Now, the spirit of the family of Luisa Picaretta. By entering into the spirit of the family of Luisa, we can see how it was born of a divine project for the reestablishment of the fallen man. God has done this. Yes, indeed, the families of today must be called back to their original position. They must follow Christ. John Paul II. Volume 20, October 26, 1926. Now, while I was saying this, my highest good Jesus was moved in touch and making my first father, Adam, present to me, Louisa. He let Adam himself tell me, Louisa, with an emphasis of love, all special, my daughter, blessed daughter, Louisa. Finally, my Lord God, after so many centuries, has delivered to the light of the day, Louisa, who is to think about giving me, Adam, back the honor and the glory that I lost by doing God's most holy divine will, and how I, Adam, feel my happiness redoubled. Until now, no one has ever thought of giving me back the honor that I lost. Therefore, I thank God profoundly for having delivered you, Louisa, to the light, Louisa being born. And I thank you, Louisa, the daughter most dearest to me, Adam, for taking on the commitment of giving back to God the glory as if his holy divine will had never been offended by me, Adam. And to me, the great honor that the kingdom of the supreme fiat be established once again in the midst of the human generations. He could not say this to Mary, the Blessed Mother. Why? Because Mary is the mother of God, not a. See, Louisa was born of human original sin. Adam, Our Lady, was not born of original sin. Adam is the Mary is the mother of God. Mary was born without original sin. Louisa was born of original sin. So Adam looks at a human and says, finally, there's one who now has the new Adam as their father, the new Eve as their mother. Finally, now, he says this, it's established once more in the midst of the human family. The kingdom of the supreme fiat now is going to begin again, where I dropped off, Jesus and Mary redeemed. Now sanctification is going to come. Now the Holy Spirit is going to consume the world with this fire from heaven. It is right that I, Adam, give you, Luis, the place that had been destined to me, the first creature that came out of the hand of our Creator. Everything is in the mind of God from eternity. And not only does He have His plan, but He also His moments, and everything is manifested and unfolded at the appropriate time. We just need to be open to the light of His Spirit to dispose to the manifestations of His will. The family of Luis is characterized by this union of wills with the Father, and not for our choice, but by choice of the Father himself. You did not choose me, I chose you, Jesus says. It proceeds in the name of unity, determined in its specific ideal purpose to reach a growing stability of life in the fiat voluntas tua. This begins with a divine call, which associates people to rebuild and establish an intimate and intense relation between the life of God and the life of creatures, between heaven and earth, on earth as it is in heaven. It is a supernatural reality with a deep and an intimate participation that does not obstruct the bonds of the human family. Rather, it strengthens them. From here, an exclusive and real interest arises for the Lord and for the glory of His kingdom in the world. By living this purpose, we can reach unity, and unity leads to the kingdom. Okay, the week of prayer for unity Christian. Again, everyone's going to become Catholic was the theme of the post-reflection before praying the Angelus. He invited all the faithful to join in the prayer which Jesus addressed to the Father in the eve of His passion, that they may all be one so that the world may believe. Recognizing and welcoming the transforming power of faith in Jesus Christ supports the Christians in their search for thorough unity among themselves. Pope Benedict XVI affirms that our search for the unity will be realistic if change first comes about within us, if we let God act, if we allow ourselves to be transformed in the image of Christ, if we enter into the new life in Christ, who is the true victor, who's the true victory. The visible unity of all Christians always comes from on high, from God. It requires humility to recognize our weakness and to accept the gift. However, to use a phrase often repeated by Blessed Pope John Paul II, each gift is also a task, and so that the unity that comes from God requires a daily commitment on our part to open ourselves to one another in charity. Okay, so again, today we have to begin to look at each other as true brothers and sisters. We have to really begin to look at each other with a divine love. Otherwise, this idea of the divine will is just a thought. It's not a reality. The time we dedicate to prayer for full communion in Christ's disciples will give us a deeper understanding of how we will be transformed by His victory, by the power of His reflection. Excuse me, by His resurrection. Jesus prays for the church in all times. He also prays for us. The main element in Christ's priestly prayer for His disciples is His request for the future unity of those who will believe in Him. This unity is essential in the divine will. This unity is not a worldly achievement. It derives exclusively from divine unity and comes down to us from the Father, through the Son, and the Holy Spirit. By this priestly prayer, Jesus established the church, which is nothing other than the community of disciples who, through their faith in Christ, as the one sent by the Father, receives His unity and are involved in Jesus' mission to save the world by leading it to a knowledge of God. Let us ask Him for the gift of invisible unity among all those who believe in Christ, that we may be ready to respond to anyone who asks us about the reason for our hope. And again, that's from Pope Benedict this past January. We have to be so in love that people look at us and go, "Why are you happy? Don't you know gas is $5 a gallon? Why are you happy? Don't you know we're being taxed? Why are you happy?" It's like God's got something planned and I'm part of it. God's got something planned and He needs me. God's got something planned and it's heaven on earth. And I've already begun to live it. See, your family is going to think you're nuts. And that's okay. Because you are. You're crazy. You're crazy in love with God. Why? Because you know God is crazy in love with you. How do you know? He's given us this gift of the divine will. He's given us a chance to begin to live this abundant life. How glorious this is. How tremendous this is. And all that He asks us to do is just to live it, to give our fiat, let it be done as you say. I don't know how you're going to do it, but I know you're going to do it. So we'll end there. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. In about 10 minutes, we'll say the rosary, and then we'll have Holy Mass.